الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. وقال تعالى: فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and brothers, on one occasion Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an had visited the Qabristan. There were certain places that the pious people of the past would frequently visit. One of the places that they frequently visited was the Qabristan. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also encouraged us to visit the Qabristan, فَإِنَّهَا تُزَهِّدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا, because when you would visit the Qabristan and you would reflect, it mustn't just be like a social visit, you're going there to meet some people, or, you know, I went to Qabristan, met my friends. No. But it's a time for you to reflect and ponder. Ponder that these people are here, they were one day in the dunya like I was, and they had their time, they served their period, now they're in the qabr, and shortly, not long, it's just a matter of time that I'm also going to be here. And when I'm over here, then I've got no other opportunity to do any good. So the pious people, when they went to the Qabristan, as though when they walked out of the Qabristan, it's like Allah Ta'ala giving me a new life now. Allah giving me another opportunity. These people can't come out now. As much as they would want to come out, they cannot come out. They can't do any good deeds. Not even one Subhanallah, not even one Alhamdulillah. And there were certain instances where even people that managed to get some sort of communication with the person in the qabr, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything is possible. And they informed them that according to what, now that we've come to this world now, and the reality has opened up before us, then one subhanallah is better than the world and whatever it contains. We realize now, all this dunya we were chasing after, everything we're chasing, this got no value here. It's got absolutely no position here. Yeah, what matters is your amal and your deeds. Anyway, we're going back to the incident of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu an visited, he made the sunnah dua, assalamu alaikum diyara qawmi mu'mineen. He made some dua for the people, etc. Then he addressed the people in the graves. Ya ahl al-qubur, amma zawjat فَقَدْ نُكِحَتْ وَأَمَّا الدِّيَارِ فَقَدْ سُكِنَتْ وَأَمَّا الْأَمْوَالِ فَقَدْ قُسِمَتْ. O inmates of the graves, as for your wives, they have remarried. Your wives are already married now. Life is continuing. As for your homes, people have already taken residence in it. There's someone staying there now in your house. You gone, you there in the qabr. And as for your wealth, that has already been distributed. Now it's no more your wealth. It's gone to someone else. It's gone to your heirs now. It's gone in the estate. This is what is happening on our side. Now you tell me, what is happening on your side? So this is a very, very important lesson, because people's whole life normally revolves around this. If you think about it, the person's life revolves around his wife, his family, his children. Then his life will revolve around his home. His wife, his life will revolve around his wealth, his business, his properties, his investments. The whole life goes in this, whole life. From morning to night, 24/7, week after week, month after month, the same chakkar, that same rat race we caught in. My wife, my children, my house. So that person did everything. Allah protects. Sometimes he did impermissible things too. He couldn't afford it. He took a loan, interest-bearing loan, to keep his wife happy. My wife wants to drive a certain car. I have to buy that car for her. Whether I beg, borrow, steal, whatever I do, I have to buy that car. She wants to go for holiday to a certain destination. You know, all the people are going overseas now. So I have to also go overseas. So whether it is I steal the money, I beg for the money, I get involved in haram, whatever it is, just to keep the wife happy, the man does everything. Allah protect. You get many cases where people even break ties with their parents because of their wives. They break ties. Wife had some problem. Now the wife told him, the man left his parents. Your parents, remember, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest rights anyone got in this dunya are your parents. And whatever happens, they can be rotters. Whatever they can be kafirs too. You still have to respect them. You won't respect them in wrong. You won't obey them in wrong. But your parents will always be your parents, and whatever happens, and you can never get another mother. You can never get another wife, another father. Wife you'll get. But mother, you won't get another mother. If your mother passes away, she's gone from the dunya, she's gone, finish. You can't get a mother. So Allah protect, this is the way now our lives are continuing, that we have been consumed with all of this. Then a person is consumed with his home. What he won't do for that house? You know what, I have to buy this property. I have to live in this area, this elite area. This house, I got to do this renovation. I got to do this upgrade. All the time is always about his house. But what happened now? The man is gone. His wife has moved on with her life. She's gone to another husband. She's no more his. That home that he was so particular about, that home that he was so worried about always, that this house, I got to do the upgrade, I got to live in this type of a home, that house is gone. Finish. Someone else is living there. The wealth that the man bragged about, the wealth that he chased after, the wealth that he fought for that wealth. He broke ties because of that wealth. My money, whole life. Where's his money now? Gone. Where's he? Somewhere else. This is the bitter reality of this dunya. This is the reality of this rat race we are caught in. This is the reality of our lives. Our whole life we give in to this. What are we preparing for the akhirat? What are we taking with us to the Qabristan? Every person wants a grand ending. Everyone wants to die 27th night of Ramadan. We want to die in Medina Munawwara. Person wants to die in Ihram. He wants a high status in Jannat. What are you doing for that? What preparation are you making in this dunya? When you want something, you got to work for it. A man wants a house. The house is not going to fall from the sky. He knows you've got to work for that house. Whatever you want, you've got to work for it. Why is it when it comes to the akhirat, we think that's like a lucky packet, you're just going to get it? No, you've got to work for it. You've got to try. You're going to cry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing your enthusiasm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing your desire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing what effort you are making. This man is serious. He's not joking. He's not playing fools. He's serious. He wants Jannat. He's working for Jannat. You can see him. He's following. Remember, to get to Jannat, there's a route. You need to get to a certain destination. You got to follow the route to get. It's common sense. If you're going to travel on the opposite route and you're going to expect to get that to that destination, it can't happen. You want to go to Joburg, you're traveling to Cape Town. You're traveling to Cape Town. Someone stops you on the way. By the way, you're going. I'm going to Joburg. I want to go to. No, but this is a road. Hey, bye. Don't be judgmental, please. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. We know that. Who doesn't know Allah is Ghafoor Rahim? You're going to follow the procedure. You're going to follow the protocol. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created systems. Why did Allah send the Quran Sharif then? If you could just live your life how you wanted to live, like how it's advocated now, you know, you live once, live it up, enjoy your life too. Then what was the purpose of the Quran Sharif? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send over 100 scriptures to this dunya? Why were the 124,000 anbiya sent to this world? They were sent to give you direction. You follow the direction, you follow the guidelines, you follow the teachings, you will reach your destination. You will reach where you're supposed to reach. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, then he posed the question. This is what's happening here in the dunya. This is the reality. And it is a reality. You're seeing it all the time. Who can deny this reality? All the time you're seeing it. Tell us what is now by you people. Give us your information. Mal khabaru indakum. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu told the people that if these people could speak, these inmates of the graves, then they would say that the best provisions is taqwa. When we came here, we realized the best provisions is taqwa. Taqwa meaning piety, taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taqwa, the concern for your deen, taqwa, the concern for the akhirat, taqwa, doing everything in accordance to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always thinking what will please Allah, what will displease Allah. Now that we came to this realm, now that we came to this world, we realize it is taqwa. So what you are going to take with you is your iman, it is your taqwa, and it is your amal, your good deeds. That's what you're taking with you. You're not taking your car with you. You're not taking your palatial home with you. You're not taking your family with you. You're not taking your business with you, your properties, your investments that you bragged about so much, that you had so much of, you know, desire. I got this investment. I buy all whatever investment you. What investment you got for the akhirat? What you taking there just now? Malakul Maut will be here just now. It is a matter of time, few weeks, few months, few years, we all are gone. 100 years from now, who's going to be here? 100 years. 100 years from now, who's going to be sitting here? We all will be in the Qabristan. We all will be gone. What do you have to take with you? What preparations have you made? What did you do to fulfill the purpose Allah created you for in this dunya? Why did Allah create you in the first place? What are we doing here? What are we here in this dunya for? What we came here for? What are we here for? Did we ever ask ourselves? Are we here to make money? Are we here for entertainment? Are we here for luxury? Are we here to relax? Are we here for what are we here for? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us in this dunya for? What are we doing to fulfill that purpose? What efforts are we making in that line? How much are we trying? How much of time are we giving? How much of time? How much of time are we giving to the masjid? How much of time are we giving to the Quran Sharif? How much of tilawat are we making? The ayat that I recited now, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرٍ يَرَى. That person who does one atom of good, he will see it. One atom, you know, one subhanallah you said, you will see it. One time you gave sadaqah, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, اتَّقُوا النَّارِ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَى. Save yourself from the fire of Jahannam, even if it is with one piece of a date. Not a whole date. Maybe you can't give a whole date. Give one piece of that date. وَرُدُّ السَّائِلِ وَلَوْ بِذِلْفِ شَاتٍ. And a person that's asking, begging, and a genuine person is in need, then give him something. Even if it be the trotters of the animal, you slaughtered the animal, now maybe you're not going to be using the trotters, you've got it lying, give it away. Give it in sadaqah. Whatever you can do in this dunya, whatever good deeds and good amal you can do, do that good amal while you're here in this world. Because once you close your eyes, it's over, it's finished. You can't do anything after that. No matter how much you want to do. So if you found an opportunity of doing good, seize the opportunity. Grab the opportunity. Sometimes you see in the masjid, talim is taking place. Now you got free time. Sometimes it's weekend, sometimes it's a holiday, sometimes a man got time. Sit down, participate in that talim. That few minutes, you don't know what change that can bring to your life. You don't know how that rewards can benefit you. Now what we think, talim is happening, this you see happening in the masjid, the same talim, same few people sitting, the same few people are sitting. For 1 year ago, you'd say people sitting, 1 year later, no one else is participating. No one wants to take part. Why is it when it comes to any good deed, when it comes to anything of the akhirat, it's like we put off. Akhirat, tell a person, come for a party now. Tell him, come for a braai. Tell him, come for a picnic. Tell him, come for some social gathering. People will stand outside the masjid, but they won't. One brother was telling me yesterday, people are sitting outside the masjid, youngsters are sitting, while Taweeh is on. They're playing with their phones. This is the month of Ramadan. This is the month to boost the batteries of your iman. This is the month to earn your jannat. This is the month to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah, he mentions, if the dead people had one wish, let's say you could converse with the people in the grave now, and you could speak to them, and some pious people, Allah Ta'ala loves that, they can converse, maybe in the dream, or somehow, this way is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has created this world in with some very, very mysterious things. So if they had one wish, what would be that one wish? Ibn al-Jawzi says, the one wish would be for one day in Ramadan. The people that are gone now finished, Ramadan is over for them, they can't witness Ramadan anymore. They can't come back to the dunya, they serve the innings, they're gone. But if they had one wish, the one wish will be for one day in Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala give us one day in Ramadan, because now they saw the benefit of Ramadan, they saw the rewards of Ramadan, they saw the blessings of Ramadan. So the month of Ramadan, and Taraweeh is on, the Quran Sharif is being recited. You know the Quran is one of the greatest gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last night in the tafsir we mentioned, Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Quran. When Allah is enumerating His bounties and favors, even before Allah ta'ala speaks about the creation of man, what Allah ta'ala says, Allam al-Quran, Allah taught you the Quran. The Quran Sharif has got everything in it. What you looking for? You want barakat? Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarak. This Quran is filled with barakat. People are looking for barakat. You know, maybe we'll have to go on the top of the mountain. We'll have to find one Pir Sahib there with a big turban and the 1,000 tasbih around his neck. Then he'll have to write one taweez for you. Then you'll get barakat. Barakat is in the Quran. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarak. If you read Quran in your house, you'll get barakat. Read Quran in your business, you'll get barakat. Read Quran before your children, you'll get barakat. Quran Sharif has got everything. Quran Sharif has got peace. It has got tranquility, sakina. When the Quran Sharif is being recited, special tranquility is coming out. Sahaba witnessed it. They experienced it. Allah Ta'ala opened it to them. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informed us. This Quran Sharif is like a magnetic force. Wherever the Quran is being recited, it's bringing nur in that place. It's bringing barakat in that place. This is the effect of the Quran Sharif. And here the Quran Sharif is being recited. And we are negligent. People are not worried. No one is worried. Who's worried anymore? Who's even worried about what the Quran means? No one worries. No one cares. Surah Fatiha you're reading every day. Ask people, what is the message of Surah Fatiha? No one is worried about anything. So when you're not worried about nothing, when the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't bother you anymore, When your whole life revolves around your own luxuries, your own comforts, your own desires, then what you expect, how you expect the help of Allah to come to you? How is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to come to you? What's the akhirat is going to be for you? So that is why we have to change our line of thinking. We have to start changing, turning to the right direction. We have to turn our minds and our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned, this Quran Sharif, it's got such barakah, it's got such noor, it's got such light. How many people even interested in learning the Quran? I was just mentioning the program now, before Jummah. If you go to Madinah Munawwara, you'll find these different halqas. Also in Makkah Mukarramah, you don't see it so much in Makkah. In Madinah you see it. Halqas of Quran Sharif. So there's a ustad sitting, and few people sitting around the ustad. Someone is learning from the beginning, someone is reading Surah Fatiha, someone is reading Surah Ikhlas, someone is learning Surah Yasin. Why? Because of that desire, that zeal for the Quran. Old people, young people, it's never too late to learn. Remember, learning is never too late. You must never think, now I'm old now. People are completing the hifz in old age. Some people now, you hear, 70 years, 60 years, that man started maybe 50, 60, he started slowly, slowly, 10, 15. The man completed his hifz now. Some apas also, they're completing the hifz at that time. So it's never too late to learn. But that's provided we've got the desire to learn. So this Quran Sharif has got everything in it. It's got noor, it's got barakat. And remember, when we live our lives properly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us in this dunya. Remember, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can make this dunya jannat for you. You know what happiness Allah ta'ala can give you? All the money in the world cannot buy that happiness. All the holidays in the world cannot bring that happiness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make this dunya jannat for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then honor us at the time of death. When we're leaving, you know, that's a journey. That's the most important journey in our lives. You know, when a person is undergoing for a journey, doesn't he prepare himself? He prepares himself, going for a journey. No passport. No, Allah is Ghafurur Rahim. Hey, go get your passport, please. They're not going to let you travel. You're going nowhere without a passport. You know you've got to have your passport. Yeah, you've got to have your iman all the time. You've got to have your iman, you've got to have your amal. That's what's going to take you through. So this journey is the most important, the most crucial journey in our life. This is a journey of no return. You're going one way, you're not coming back. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is waiting for us. But if we live our lives properly and we focus to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make positive changes. Remember, no one is a saint and no one changes overnight. You may be getting some miracles that happen, but otherwise, slowly, slowly, assess ourselves. How much of Quran I was reading last year, how much I'm reading this year, how much of time I was spending in the masjid, how much I'm spending now, what deeds, what bad habits I had, did I kick those bad habits out of my life, did I purge myself of those bad habits? Slowly, slowly, you work towards the akhirat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us at the time of death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will upgrade us. That ship of ours, Allah will upgrade it to business class or first class. You know, people brag, me, I travel all the time, business class. I travel first class. But how are you going to travel to the akhirat? That's what you have to worry. However you travel in this dunya, economy, business, you need to get to your destination. That's the most important thing. All right, there's nothing wrong. Person wants to travel that way also too. But what I'm saying, more important than that journey, is you got to worry about the journey of the akhirat. So about 150 years ago, in Damascus, there was a strange incident that happened. Grave digger, one woman came to him, she told him, dig the grave, someone passed away. So he dug the grave, and then the body was brought, was a youngster that passed away, young boy, or a young man. So as he's releasing the body into the grave, Allah Ta'ala opened up like the whole scene now of Jannah. That whole grave turned like to an orchard from the orchards of Jannah. And then he says, two men coming on a horse and they take this body away and they go. Now this year, sometimes certain people pass away here, Allah Ta'ala moves the body to Madinah Munawwara. And Allah protects. Sometimes it happens, people can pass away in Medina Munawwara and the body can move away too. So anyway, this grave digger, he passed out. He could, first time in his life he saw something like this. He fainted. The lady was gone. People woke him up, whatever, sprinkled water. Did you all see this? No, we didn't see nothing. He said, this is what I saw. After a few months, same lady comes. Dig a grave. Dug the grave. Another young man is brought. Same thing happens. As he releases him in the grave, his same experience. Whole thing changes into an orchard of Jannat. And two men come with a horse and take the body away. But this time, he didn't faint. So he jumped out of the grave very quickly. And the lady was walking away. So he went to her and he approached her. Who are you? Where did you come from? Said, brother, I've just went through a calamity now. And now you're asking me all these questions. So were you also the mother of that other person who came? Said, see, these two are my sons. And I lost one son. Now I lost another son. So why are you questioning me? So he told her, no, something very strange, unique, I witnessed, I never witnessed in my whole life. This is what I saw. So this lady then said, see, the first son of mine, he was a student of deen, talib ilm. Must always be a person that like regard yourself to be a student. How you regard yourself to be a student? Wherever there's some good deeni program taking place, where you can learn something, participate. Have that desire. Knowledge is a very great thing. Participate. The talim, the deeni programs, anything where you're going to learn, you're going to benefit, provided it is someone, the authentic information that you're getting. Don't just go take any information. Obviously, when it comes to deen, you're going to be particular that you get the right information. If you get the wrong information, it'll confuse you further and it'll mislead you. And said, the second youngster was also my son, but he was supporting that son. So he knew this person has given his life to knowledge. So he said, I will support my brother. I will work and support him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded both his boys in this manner. Yeah. So this person now, this grave digger, he threw everything down. He left everything and went to the top shuikh of Damascus. He said, I came to study. Well, what's your age? No, 45, 50 years. Where were you all this time? Normally you study when you're younger. He says, no, this is what incident transpired. So then he started studying elementary books. You know, as I told you all, it's never too late for a person to learn. At no point can you say, now it's too late. He started learning the elementary books, and eventually he became a big sheikh of Damascus, Sheikh Abdul Rahman Al-Haffar. Haffar is the person who digs. So he was known as Sheikh Abdul Rahman Al-Haffar, Rahimahullah, a very renowned Sheikh of Damascus after this incident happened. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us, respected friends. We just got two more or three more days left. Ramadan has gone so quickly, so fast. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all whatever good deed we did. May Allah accept all our du'as. But let us value these few moments now. Let us value these few nights now. Every night, big extra ibadat, cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, strengthen our link with the Quran Sharif, strengthen our link with the Quran. Start reading Quran. Read Quran, but read it with love. Read it with desire. Read it with enthusiasm. You know, you're reading one ayat, you're relishing it, you're enjoying it. This is the way we need to read Quran Sharif. It's not just like a lip service, you know, alhamdulillah, not like that. No, read it slowly. Enjoy it. Relish it. Benefit from it. Quran Sharif has got everything. It's got nur, it's got barakah, it's got sakina, the Quran Sharif, and make an effort to understand the meaning of the Quran Sharif. So let us value these few more moments, these few more days. Remember the time before iftar. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakaria Rahmatullah will conclude with this point. He used to say, I found the dua 1 minute before iftar to be very powerful. If the ummah only uses this 1 minute, then inshallah the needs will be fulfilled. And then he would say that 1 minute, you don't need to use 1 minute. He just said minimum 1 minute. A few minutes before iftar, you're making dua, you're crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, when you put the first khajur in your mouth, for the first 30 seconds, your heart make dua. Now you can't verbally make dua, in your heart you make dua. So let us make a lot of dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our maghfirat. We mustn't be cursed by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Hazrat Jibreel Alayhi Salam. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala blesses us with the blessings of the month of Ramadan and the Quran. And remember, Ramadan is a training session. The good work got to continue. It mustn't happen now that after Eid, then the masjid, the crowd starts decreasing. No. Inshallah, carry on. The purpose of Ramadan, that is a training session, it was like a training grounds. Carry on with the good work we are doing. You don't have to fast every day, but whenever we can have the opportunity to keep Nafal Roza, try and wake up early in the morning, at least for Fajr, or a little bit earlier, Tahajjud. How we wake up for Sari? We can wake up, we can do it. It is Shaitan and our nafs that has now deceived us in thinking we cannot do it. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, if we live our lives like this, then Allah will make our maut Eid. The day when we're passing away, that will be a very joyous and happy occasion. May Allah grant us a true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana.